I'm broadcasting today from London, where Prime Minister Theresa May has struck a deal to leave the European Union. May met with her cabinet today to sell ministers on a draft of the plan. It would create a backstop customs arrangement to prevent border checkpoints between Northern Ireland, which is part of the UK, and the Republic of Ireland, which will remain in the EU. That issue has been holding up a final deal for months, and nothing is settled yet because May's solution could still fall apart in Parliament. Here in Now's Peter O'Dowd has been out speaking with people who are worried along both sides of the Irish border.
Whew. If you're looking for ground zero in the war over Brexit, this is it, right here, where the River Foyle opens up into the sea.
This is beautiful, and there's no doubt about it. It's a pleasure to come down here to work.
We're standing in the Republic of Ireland on the shore of William Lynch's farm.
Let's see here. That water's cold. I hope the oysters like cold water, which I guess they do.
The tide is in, not much to see, but just below the water, his crop of Pacific oysters is growing.
My other site in Northern Ireland is about 2 miles up, 10 minutes driving the tractor.
Well, you're in a pickle then, aren't you, with all this Brexit stuff?
I am really in a pickle.
Lynch's livelihood straddles two countries. This year, he's harvested 90 tons of oysters from the farm, some from Northern Ireland in the UK, some from the Republic of Ireland in the south. All of them were shipped to France to be distributed around the world.
It is vital to my operations. I need to have free movement.
Brexit poses questions that Lynch has no answers to. How does he move the oysters a few miles down the road into Northern Ireland, where his company is based? What kind of tariffs would he pay? Would the oysters spoil if there's a delay at a new checkpoint on the border?
Probably the quick solution for me would be to close down the company in Northern Ireland and relocate it here to Southern Ireland. And that really would be my backstop, which is a great word, come into the vocabulary now.
Which is a word a lot of people are using here.
So I might as well jump on the bandwagon. That would be my backstop.
Lynch is a poster boy for an as-of-yet intractable problem. Brexit negotiators on both sides have promised there will be no hard border, no physical infrastructure. The British ambassador to the US, Kim Derrick, told me as much back in April.
Prime Minister has pledged absolutely there is going to be no hard border between Northern Ireland and the Republic of Ireland.
Do you think people in Northern Ireland are hearing that message?
Well, we couldn't be any clearer. I mean, I hope people in Northern Ireland will accept that when the government says something as clearly and as emphatically as we've said it, then that's what we're going to stick to, and they can trust us to one way or another deliver this.
Theresa May is now one step closer to delivering. She met with her cabinet earlier today to get them behind the deal she struck with Europe. It appears to leave the entire UK in a temporary EU customs arrangement until a final trade deal is worked out. That backstop would prevent border checkpoints, but it's a fundamental problem for Brexiteers who want a clean break with Europe. Key members of Parliament have already said they're against it. As time runs out, people in the Northern Ireland border city of Derry are confused.
The uncertainty?
Tony Forrester lives in town, but like so many here, she crosses to the south every day to go to work. She's director of the Letterkenny Chamber of Commerce in County Donegal.
In the last 2.5 years, the uncertainty has been the biggest problem. Nobody really knows what to do. Nobody really knows how to plan for something that they don't understand. If the UK go out of Brexit with a no deal and we have world trade tariffs, we just don't know how that's going to work. We don't know how much our goods will have to go up. And in the Republic of Ireland, lots of our businesses, retailers, every type of business, buys goods in the UK. So they're worried about their supply chain.
Of course they are, because they're right next to each other, right? How much trade, how many goods flow back and forth between this area?
Yeah. I'm not sure about the figures. I think someone mentioned 3 billion a year. I talked to a lot of our retailers. And I've said to them, what have you done? And they said, not much. Haven't planned very much. And I said, well, have you talked to your suppliers, who are mostly wholesalers? Oh, yeah, well, they're okay, because they've got it sorted out. But actually, I don't think anybody has.
They don't.
I don't really believe that.
Forrester is unsure if Theresa May can get her plan through Parliament. But she is sure of one thing. This problem of a hard border is about more than money.
I remember only a military border. I don't remember a customs border. So for me, the border is military. It was about being stopped every time, 10 miles down the road. And that they're bad memories for everyone in Northern Ireland, no matter what your background.
This is BBC archival footage from January 30th, 1972, Bloody Sunday, perhaps the most infamous day in three decades of sectarian violence between Protestants and Catholics, known as the Troubles.
My young brother, Michael Kelly, 17 years old, was murdered on Bloody Sunday.
John Kelly works at the Museum of Free Derry in the city's Bogside neighborhood. Kelly's brother and 13 others died when British soldiers opened fire on Catholics marching for civil rights.
I remember everything about the day. I remember it because it's ingrained in my memory and what happened. I remember it was a day like today, blue sky. The march itself, the people were very jubilant. I remember being in Roswell Street just outside the building when the paratroopers moved in, taking cover, knowing where the shooting was coming from, but not knowing who was being hit. I didn't see anybody being killed or injured. And the fact is, where I lay taking cover, my young brother was being shot dead about 40 yards from me. So Bloody Sunday has been a major part of my life ever since.
Some people have tried to make the argument that a return to a hard border would threaten the peace that people have worked so hard for. Do you think that's a legitimate fear, or is that fear-mongering?
To a degree, it's legitimate. But honestly, I see it as fear-mongering, truthfully. Because I don't believe, and I hopefully don't believe it'll ever happen, that we'll go back to the bad old days. Nobody wants to see the hard border again. I remember during the conflict here, it was lasted for 30 years plus. And if you wanted to cross over the border, you had to go through the army checkpoints, police checkpoints and so on, being harassed, abused, arrested and so on. We don't want that anymore. What we have is an open island, if you want to call it. It's an invisible border.
You don't even know when you cross it. I did it today. I couldn't even tell.
Exactly. The only time when you realize you're over the border is when you're moving into the south. You go from miles into kilometers, or you go from sterling into euro. That is the only time. It's totally invisible. And that's the way this should be. But in relation to going back to the conflict, I see that maybe could happen, but I don't believe it will.
In 1998, the Good Friday Agreement officially ended the conflict and dismantled border checkpoints. But 20 years later, here in the Bogside, tensions still simmer. All through the neighborhood, people have spray-painted buildings and lampposts in support of the Irish Republican Army, the paramilitary group active during the Troubles. And this summer, riots broke out in the Bogside for six straight nights. Police say members of the new IRA threw firebombs at officers. I asked John Kelly if peace really is that tenuous.
Okay, there's certain groups out there who see themselves as possibly want to continue on with the war against the Brits for United Ireland. But peace is here, and peace is going to remain. And certainly Brexit hopefully will not affect that peace.
In a neighborhood like this, it feels almost naive to ask you if you trust the British government to figure this out. They've promised no return to a hard border. Do you think they'll follow through?
Don't trust the Brits. That's the way I see things.
Mommy! Daddy! Over here!
Like it is most days, Derry was tranquil on Sunday morning. 2+ years after the Brexit vote, the sun was still shining, albeit weakly, as families pushed strollers across the city's symbolic Peace Bridge. It spans the River Foyle and connects the Catholic side of town with the Protestant.
I'm very optimistic. I don't see problems that can't be overcome. A bit of common sense here and there.
Jeff Marshall is still bullish on Brexit. In a district where 78% of people chose to remain in Europe, he voted to leave.
So, always optimistic.
That's good.
I've just been to 100-year anniversary of the war. We've been through a lot worse problems and got through them. When you see the devastation and then the local stuff here 30 years ago, there's no comparison with what they're talking about now. It's just kid stuff. Get on with it.
He believes the Prime Minister will do just that and end the unhappy marriage between Europe and the United Kingdom for good. For Here and Now, I'm Peter O'Dowd, reporting from Northern Ireland.